Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to be reading starting in verse 1. We'll go through it together. I'll read it out loud. In verse 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder, except for from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that if you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. And let's pray. Jesus, again, we're here. We want to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. Lord, thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for our church. And we've been going through this book and seeing how church is supposed to go. And I like this chapter because it tells us how we're supposed to be treating each other. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we get into it, that you'd be speaking to our hearts. Bless the time, Lord. Make it clear what applies to us and make us like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in 1 Timothy in chapter 5, and we've been going through the book. Again, it's a book that's specifically written to Timothy as a pastor and telling him how church is supposed to go. In fact, verse 15 of chapter 3, it says, Paul says, if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so one of the things that we find as we're going through the book is we're learning how church is supposed to go. So in this passage, Paul is going to be talking, God's going to be talking to us about how we're supposed to be treating our church family, how we're supposed to be treating widows specifically, and how we're supposed to be treating leaders practically. And so the first thing that he talks about is how to treat all people in verse 1 and 2. He says, number 1, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. And just talking about elders. And elders speaking of people who are older. And in the passage, it's specifically teaching that there are not to be any harsh rebukes for an older man, especially from a younger man. And that's what Timothy is. You know, we talked about this last week. Paul tells him not to let anybody despise his youth, but to be an example. And so one of the things that is never supposed to happen, especially from a younger man to an older man, is that you give him a harsh rebuke. In fact, this word rebuke is the only time it's used in the New Testament. It's like rail on. It's like, you know, come down on big time and hard. And the idea behind that is to have an attitude towards older people that's biblical. And it's not just an attitude towards older people that you like and older people that you agree with and older people that are nice to you. It's just an attitude that we're supposed to have to people who are older. And so when I'm looking at an older man, I'm supposed to be treating him as a father and not as my father's. Everybody makes excuses with this stuff. I know how family's supposed to go. And so a lot of my examples on how family's supposed to go were negative examples. You can learn from a negative example, or you can learn from a positive example. What I'm doing is taking away your excuses right now. And so I had a lot of negative examples in my life, and so therefore there were things that did not happen in my home. And I had very few positive examples, especially as far as a father goes. That doesn't excuse me from the knowledge of what a father is supposed to be doing and how that's supposed to be happening. And it's not an excuse for my treatment of people. You know, I have lots of excuses for treating some older people in bad ways. And God doesn't, he just doesn't allow it. It's not supposed to be happening. And so when you're talking about an older man, he needs to be honored. In fact, Leviticus 19:32, we just did this on Wednesdays. It says this: "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." And one of the interesting things about that passage in Leviticus is that every time that God wants to make a real point, and there are points that he makes about sexual immorality, and points that he makes about a number of issues that are just like over the top, you better be doing this stuff. God says, "You're to fear me. I am the Lord." When that's kind of his end statement when he wants to get a point across. And I like it that he does it with this. Because again, we have a culture that looks at old guys and you know, just goes, "Yeah, you're just an old man. You know, that's my old man," you know, and not speak in a godly way. And so we're supposed to be, again, treating older men as fathers. If you're a younger guy and you come up and you speak down to an older man, it's not going to be a good conversation. There's going to be problems. And again, it's just the way that people are made. And you know what? It's absolutely biblical. You don't get to do that. So he says, no harsh rebukes. And then he says, but exhort him as a father. That word exhort, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking about exhortation in the Bible, exhortation can be pretty edgy. And so there are passages where it talks about exhorting a brother or exhorting someone, and it has an edge to it. It's like you need to teach them to get on it, basically, that kind of thing. This has none of that. It's the word parakaleo in Greek. Comes from the word parakaleo, and all you Bible scholars, you know that's the term that's used of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, when he's called the Comforter. And it means somebody who's called alongside to help, somebody who's called alongside to be a comfort. And that is the way that an older man is supposed to be treated. That's one of those things that I've never really had an issue with. Again, because it has nothing to do with, you know, my great godliness or anything. I just grew up in a military household, and you didn't treat older men in a bad way. And so they were to be treated respectfully. And it didn't matter how much older they were. I think we talked about this last week. Anybody who's 18 or older, I had to call them sir or ma'am. Depending. That's weird. Remember the first time somebody called you sir? It's like, what am I, an old guy? What's going on here? You know, and every 18-year-old got that from me. In any case, an older man is to be, again, treated like he's a father. It goes on and says, older women as mothers. I'm skipping younger men on purpose. Older women as mothers. And so the elder women are supposed to be treated like you would treat your mom. And again, the whole issue of mom, the way that mom is supposed to be treated, not the, you know, not the dysfunctional junk that happened in your home and all of that kind of thing. It's the way that a mother is supposed to be treated. And in these issues that are being spoken about, when he's talking about all these different classes of people, I want you to notice he doesn't say singles, and he doesn't say young marrieds, and he doesn't say high school, and he doesn't say, you know, he doesn't do all that stuff. Elder men, elder women, younger men, younger women. And that's what you've got. And it's how you treat your family. It's how you treat your family. And so the Bible talks about honoring your mother and your father, and it's exactly the same kind of flavor that you've got when you're talking about older women. And so consequently, when I'm dealing with older women, I am respectful to them. And it's getting weird for me now, because now I'm like 60 years old, and you know, it was easy when I was a young guy, when I was a young pastor and stuff. Anybody that was older than me, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if they're about 10 years out, then you treat them that way. Now I've got ladies who are younger than me, but they're kind of older, but they're still younger than me. And so now I'm like, do I treat them like sisters or do I treat them like mothers? And I've defaulted towards mothers because it's kind of weird. If they're way younger than me, it's easier to treat them like a sister. If they're my age or, you know, about there, you know, they're, yeah, it's weird. And so ladies in my staff get treated differently. And so the younger ladies, I treat them like sisters. And the ladies that are more near my age, I treat them more like mothers and that kind of thing. But it's a great exhortation on how people are supposed to be interacting with each other. 1 Timothy is one of those passages that I spent a lot of time in. When I was a young pastor, I was down in Big Bear, and my time at Big Bear wasn't the greatest. I had some good stuff going on, met some really awesome people and that kind of thing. But as far as ministry went, there was a lot of drama there, and I'm not a drama guy. And so I wanted out. And I was praying. And you know, as soon as God told me that I was going to be a head pastor, that's all I was praying for. So I was in Big Bear for about 8 years. And the whole time I'm praying, and the whole time God is pointing me to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. I know these books really well because I read them over and over and over again. And this section especially has served me really well over time. Because again, there are basic mistakes that people make in their interactions with other folks, and you wouldn't be making as many mistakes if you were paying attention to what it actually says. So, even as a pastor, even though people are supposed to submit to me, even though I'm in charge, even though I run things around here, when I'm talking to an older man, I'm treating him with respect. When I'm talking to an older woman, I'm treating her with respect. I'm not cutting her short. I'm listening, spending time with them, that kind of thing. And then there are the younger men. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's another thing about this mother thing. You guys know my background, and I have had family issues. And so when I read about dads and moms in the Bible, the there are times, I'm not a whiny guy. You know, I know my name is Steve Winery. When I feel like whining, that's what my name's actually pronounced Winery. But when I feel like whining, it's Winery. I am now Steve Winery. I want to whine. But, I've had issues, and some of the issues that I had actually took place when I first got saved. When I first really started following the Lord, I lost things. And I lost friends. And I actually, you know, I didn't really lose friends. I just found out who my friends actually were. And some of the ones that I thought were closest to me were not. And so I lost friends because of Jesus. And I lost family because of Jesus. And it didn't stay that way. You know, my sisters ended up coming to the Lord. But there's still some issues in family that remain, and one of the issues was with my mom, and she didn't like me on some levels. It had to do with the fact that she wasn't walking with the Lord. And so, you know, that's kind of a hard thing. And then with the whole thing with my background, it just kind of exacerbates everything. And the reason I'm telling you that is not because, again, I want to be Steve Winery right now. The reason I'm telling you that is because Jesus is faithful in the middle of all your family dynamics and all the junk that can go on. And one of the things that he said is in Mark 10, 29 through 30. And here's what the context is. Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. Remember that whole thing? The guy says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him another commandment, a number of commandments out of the Ten Commandments. And the guy says, well, I've done all these things from my youth up, which wasn't true. And he didn't know it, but it wasn't true. I've done all these things from my youth up. What else do I need to do? And Jesus said, you need to do this. You need to take everything that you've got, go and sell it, give it to the poor, not give it to me. So give it to the poor, and you come and follow me. And it says that the rich man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. And the reality was that the riches had him. That was the problem there. And immediately afterwards, Peter looks at Jesus and he goes, well, we've left everything. What do we get? Which is classic Peter. And so Jesus talks to him about some of the things that he's going to be doing with him in the kingdom. And then he says this. Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He doesn't leave the bad stuff out. And in the age to come, eternal life. Mark 10, 29 through 30. And one of the things that you have with God is that he's never going to be your debtor. There's never been anything that I gave up that God didn't replace and replace in spades. You know, he just gives me a lot. And he says in the passage, 100-fold. And so this is one of those areas that God's been really kind to me. There are a number of ladies. There are some ladies in our fellowship that treat me like a mom would treat me. And there's been ladies in other fellowships, people that I've known through the years. I've got relationships. Bobby was talking about relationships from Big Bear. And I've got relationships from Big Bear that have lasted well over 30 years. And some of them are mom-son relationships where, you know, God's just brought someone in. And they don't necessarily know that that's what they are to me because I don't go and spout that off to them and stuff. But it's just been a cool thing. God is never your debtor. And so some of the neatest relationships that I have that I've had in my walk with God have been with older ladies who treat me like a son, include me in their family, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just a real blessing. This also, treating older women as mothers, is the one place that the worst thing that I've ever done as a Christian was violating that passage right there. And it's not, you know, it's not like I, you know, there's been other sin that I've done that's bad, but this is the one that always stands out to me. There was a time, again, I'm a young pastor down in Big Bear, and I'm running the children's ministry, and had a girl who was teaching one of the classes, and you know, she wasn't the most squared away, but we were a small church and that kind of thing, and so you deal with what you got. And she came up to me after the service and was crying and saying that one of the ladies had come in and taken over her class in the middle of a class. Well, that's out of line, you know? And so I don't like that. That's out of line. And plus you're picking on somebody younger than you and that kind of thing. And so I had some righteous indignation there. And so, you know, I talked to her and told her, you know, I'd take care of it and stuff. Next day, the lady who did this came into the office. And she was talking to the pastor about the situation. I'm there. We're in the same office. And so I got up, came over, and I read her the riot act. I just got on her case. I said, who do you think you are? You go walking into somebody else's class, take it over. You humiliated her. You know, I'm just bap, 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 bap. And if you've ever seen me irritated, actually not irritated, I was angry. Most people have never seen me angry. But when I'm angry, it's like, it's not a good thing. And so I'm angry at her, and I'm going after her. And I wasn't abusive, but I was really straight and really no excuses, not interested in your excuses and that kind of thing. And at the end of it, she's in tears and she's repenting and saying that she's sorry. And that was a good thing. And then I realized I went over the top. And so I said, I'm sorry too. And I said, it, you know, when I tell people I'm sorry, I mean it. And so I was really genuine with her and I said, I'm really sorry. And then she left. And as she's leaving, I asked her to forgive me. And she said she did. And as she's leaving, you know how that is? You know, you're not forgiven. And so she goes. right? And so it's towards the end of the day. I get done with the day. I go home, and immediately I called her on the phone as soon as I got home. It's back in the days before cell phones. And so I was attached to the wall. So so I called her up on the phone, and I used her name. I'm not going to tell you her name, but I used her name. And I said, you know, I am really sorry. That was completely out of line. I shouldn't have said it to you that way. It was, I am just so sorry. And she immediately starts crying, just blubbering on the other end of the phone. And she goes, I am so, you know, thankful that you called me. And, you know, because she thought that the relationship was broken. We weren't going to be friends anymore, or, you know, or anything like that. And that was the last time I ever did that. And it's because it's awful. You don't do that. And fortunately, she was somebody who was willing to forgive me, because that could have gone south in all kinds of ways, and I would have missed out on a major blessing in my life, because that's one of the ladies that's like a mom to me. And so you treat older women as mothers, and part of my problem was I wasn't paying attention to what that has to say. Pay attention to this stuff, because again, it'll do you well when you're talking to people. Then he talks about younger men. He says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. So my exhortation to an older man is like a father. My exhortation to younger men is like a brother. And that's different than how I would exhort a father. There's more latitude in the area of correction for a brother than there is for an elder. And again, when I look at all this stuff, I look at it as far as like family stuff goes. Good families. So I got a good relationship with a brother, with my brother. He's doing something off the wall. I can walk up to him and go, why are you being so stupid? That's what you say to a brother, right? You know, it's like, what in the world are you thinking, dude? You just did that with mom. You just did that with dad. You just did that with it. You know, and if you got a tight relationship with a brother, then that's how that conversation goes. That's how it's supposed to go. And I understand that there's different dynamics with people that you know well and the people that you don't know well. I think that a lot of times in the church, we're way too disconnected. And brothers don't feel the latitude to be able to come up and talk to somebody that they care about as a brother and just be straight up with them. We all have to be politic, and we all have to be careful, and we all have to make sure that we're not bullying somebody, and all the nonsense that we come up with to get away from having the truth spoken to us in truth. And you know what, guys? You're supposed to be treating each other like brothers, and you're supposed to care enough about your brother to take care of him and to watch his back and to say the hard things that need to be said at times. And again, there's ways to approach people and things like that, and I understand that there are times when I'm talking with some people and I know, you know, I can't treat this person like a brother, because they're just going to be offended and walk out and, you know, have an attitude at me and that kind of thing. And so I'm not going to be able to do that with this guy, and I understand all that stuff. But when you got somebody who's tight with you, you need to be able to tell them the truth. And if you're a brother to somebody else, you need to be able to listen to the truth, right? And so if you got somebody who loves you and you know they love you and they need to come up and say, that was dumb, you need to be able to take it. You know, definition of a fool is somebody who cannot take correction in the book of Proverbs. And so, again, we have to watch out for that. And so, again, there's more latitude in the area of correction than there is with an elder. And so when you see Jesus dealing with his disciples, he says some pretty intense things to them. And the disciples are saying intense things to each other. Most times, those intense things aren't that great, but there's a back and forth that goes on there that lets you know that you're close.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.